It was 4 weeks ago today. The Mail Tribune newspaper in Medford announced its demise. It had stopped printing a paper edition in September and shut down the remaining web operation on Friday, the 13th of January. Medford did not stay a newspaper desert for long. The Daily Courier in Grants Pass hired some Mail Trib staffers and expanded its reach. And this week, the Rogue Valley Tribune, no relation, fired up online. It is the work of EO Media, which runs the East Oregonian in Pendleton, the Bulletin in Bend, and several other papers. We have two guests planned. I'm not sure who we have so far. Heidi Wright, EO Media Chief Operating Officer. Are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good to have you. And Dave Smigelski, we're trying to get, the editor of the Rogue Valley Tribune, the former web editor of the Mail Tribune. I don't think Dave is on the line yet. No, okay. So Heidi, let's start with you and talk about the process of starting up a newspaper. How can EO Media afford to do this?
Well, the company's been successful and over the last number of years. And, you know, we have adequate cash reserves at this point to start this venture.
Well, you're either really fast on your feet or you had laid some groundwork even before the Mail Tribune folded. Which was it?
Well, we have been talking for the past year to Mr. Saslow, and, you know, obviously I was in Klamath Falls for 10 years as the publisher of the newspaper there and had a long-standing relationship with Grady Singletary and the Medford Mail Tribune for many years. We did a lot of printing for them, so I was somewhat familiar with the market, and our Capital Press publication also publishes down in this area. So, you know, we had some connections to Southern Oregon, and again, we were talking over the past year with Mr. Saslow, so it was more like we were on the dance floor for quite a while, and now we are doing the foxtrot.
Saslow, the owner and previous publisher of the Mail Tribune, were you talking about maybe investing in the Mail Tribune as it existed originally?
Well, as I think it's known, he was looking to sell the publication and had contracted with a broker and reached out to others in the industry, as often happens, and we were one of the parties he reached out to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so instead now of buying the existing paper, you end up starting anew. How different a process is that from, say, you know, buying up the Bulletin in Bend at auction, that sort of thing?
Well, it's actually not that much different. In fact, it's in some ways, I mean, obviously we're missing a lot of the history and the archives and you know, just the archives again and the subscriber list, and you know, so starting scratch is definitely going to take us a while to build up, you know, our databases. But it's actually, this is somewhat easier than the acquisition of the Bend Bulletin out of bankruptcy, because there were a lot of parts there we had to take care of, such as getting the press out of the building. When we bought the business, we did not buy the physical building that the Bend Bulletin was in, so we needed to, you know, move the press out of the building within 90 days. So, you know, a lot of just taking an existing business over and having to make transitions from that to, you know, getting our systems up and running and switching over, converting, you know, content management systems. Just there's a lot of back shop work that needed to be done. This is starting from scratch and utilizing the existing systems we have in place for our content management, our circulation system, and our financial system. So in a lot of ways, it's probably an easier transition.
All right. Dave Smigelski, I understand you're with us now, the Rogue Valley Tribune editor.
That's true. I'm here.
Well, thanks for joining us. Your opening column in the first edition of the Rogue Valley Tribune Online describes a relatively soul-crushing parade of owners talking about things to do more with less, do less with less, do things completely differently, and finally, in the case of the Mail Tribune, just stop. Did you hesitate at all when asked to try this again?
No, I didn't. It came out of nowhere. I was just contemplating what life was going to be like after the Mail Tribune. And I was with my dog up on the top of Roxy Ann, and my phone just started going off. And it was Bob Hunter, the guy who hired me at the Mail Tribune, saying, there's a new company coming to town, and they want to talk to you. So all of a sudden, I go from contemplating becoming a school bus driver to getting back in the saddle.
Wow, and here you are back in. And the early editions online show pieces by Buffy Pollock, Damian Mann, and Bob Hunter, Chris Henry, too, all Mail Tribune veterans. In Hunter's case, the former editor. Sounds like nobody was particularly reluctant to get back into the game.
No, and there may be some others as well. It's hard to say right now. We've got conversations going on with folks. It's amazing how fast people hooked up. I mean, everybody in the newsroom got offers right away from other organizations. So that was gratifying.
Yeah, that is, to know that they were going to land on their feet somewhere, although in this case, still in the Rogue Valley. So what is the relationship to the writers, though, like the Buffy Pollocks, the Damian Manns, the Bob Hunters, Chris Henrys? Are they staffers or contractors or something else?
Buffy's staff writer. Bob is helping us out because he's Bob. And Damien's a freelancer. Tried to get him to come out of retirement, but he decided that he likes being working from home and being retired. So, but he's still got his connections at City Hall, so he's covering Medford City Hall for us.
Mm-hmm. Heidi Wright, describe, if you would, the relations with other news organizations. I noticed in the Rogue Valley Tribune pieces from the Oregonian, from Congressional Quarterly, Capital Press. Are these relationships you have with the existing papers in the EO media chain?
Yes, we have good relationships with, I would say, most of the papers in the region. I mean, I believe that, you know, that's how you get along in this business. And, Capital Press is one of our publications. We have that relationship as part of EO Media Group, but, are you referring to the editorials or the columns?
Heidi, we were just talking about the relationships with other news organizations. So you have existing relationships, therefore, and can draw on some stuff to sort of fill out what you've got in addition to what you're producing locally, it sounds like.
Yes, we do. We have 14 titles in the state, and we have a fantastic group of reporters and editors from around the state. So I think, we'll be able to add those folks into the content mix as it's appropriate. I mean, our number one focus is local content and local reporting, but we do have, and we have content sharing agreements with other news organizations in the state, such as OPB and, numerous other ones. So, and through our Associated Press membership as well.
Was Medford a real revenue upside potential? I mean, could you see, without the Mail Tribune functioning, a real chance to get some advertising dollars into the Tribune?
I think there is a sustainable business model here. The owners of our company are smart business people, and we do see the opportunity to serve a purpose of providing news on top of, there are other news organizations in the community, so we don't think we need to be the only game in town. Certainly people should, listen to or subscribe to all of us if that will help support the journalism that those operations are producing. But yes, there is a sustainable business model here. And one of my strong goals as the COO of the company is to generate enough revenue from subscribers, from readers, to fund our news gathering operations, because I think without news gathering operations, we really don't have a product to sell. So you have to do that first, and then if we have an audience that advertisers care about, the rest will come.
All right, so the circulation first, which would indicate perhaps maybe a slower growth model than if you just kind of put everything out there and said, woohoo, let's go sell advertising too.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. I think you have to build the audience first, and I think that's one of the mistakes our industry has made over a period of years, is they continue to, cut, and then there's no content really to give to an audience. It's awfully hard to sell that model. As a good friend of mine in the business said, if we continue to give them less and charge them more, will they buy? They still won't buy from us. It doesn't make sense. So I think we have to invest in the news gathering efforts, and we have to ask readers to pay for that, because I don't believe news wants to be free. I think Dave and his staff would like to be paid. So I do think there is, to answer your question, yes, there is a sustainable model here, I believe.
So, Davis Migelski, talk about the nuts and bolts of the Rogue Valley Tribune. How often will you refresh the web? How often will you put out print editions?
Let me correct one thing. I was not web editor at the Mail Tribune. I was actually the editor-in-chief of the Mail Tribune.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's okay. So we will put up as much news as fast as we can get it up on the web. That's the goal, is to keep things going up on the web throughout the day, every day, as much as possible. In terms of the content sharing agreements and working with other organizations that that Heidi was talking about, a concrete example of that is we've got an agreement with Ashland.news down in Ashland. Bert Etling and I have worked together for years. And so the first example of that is today. We had a story about Darman McGuire's passing that Ashland.news wrote. And today they're going to have a story on their site about Tanya Graham being elected or appointed mayor yesterday that we're writing. So we're going to be doing a lot of sharing in the Rogue Valley. I think we've got really good relationships with the other papers around. Right now, the Daily Courier, a couple of our good friends who worked with us went over to the Courier.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a competition going with them, but it's a friendly competition. They're our friends, and we really want to see them survive as well.
You know, I had the editor and the publisher of the Daily Courier on early last week, and we're asking them if they envision some kind of old-fashioned newspaper war. I think we're kind of well past that, like maybe 150 years. But, I mean, friendly competition, you're saying, but you still want to scoop them once in a while, don't you?
Well, daily. I mean, when I play ping pong with my buds, I love them like brothers, but I want to whoop them bad. And this will be kind of the same thing. And I'm sure they're going
to
feel the same way.
I'll add to that.
Go ahead, Heidi.
I'll add to that. To echo Dave's point, it's, you know, I don't think it serves our industry any good that, you know, if one wins at the cost of the other. I think somebody wrote in a blog recently, subscribe to both, and I think that's exactly the path that we should go. And I think if we all want to join together and have a war, it should be collectively as an industry, which is something I've been involved with on the federal level with lobbying for legislation that would allow our industry to carve out a safe harbor provision in the antitrust laws and allow us to negotiate as an industry against Google and Facebook for a fair share of the revenue that is generated off the content that we produce on out in the communities that are the newspapers of this country produce, and then the big tech monetizes it. So if we want to go to war with anybody, it should be with, you know, the big tech that is taking our content and monetizing it and not giving us a fair, even not a fair, nothing in the revenue sharing. So
Heidi Wright is the Chief Operating Officer at EO Media, which has just created the Rogue Valley Tribune, where David Smigelski is the editor. And you can join us with your questions and comments by email at jx@jeffnet.org. To that part of the picture, Heidi, I mean, basically what happens now is when a newspaper creates a story and puts it online and it ends up getting linked all over the place, there's just no other revenue that comes back to you out of that.
There's some. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are able to sell around our original content, you know, and we have first-party relationships with our site viewers and our subscribers. So we can sell some of it, but it's a fraction of the monetization of the Google, you know, the Google platforms mm-hmm. that go out and, you know, aggregate all of that content on the web and then deliver eyeballs through their channels. So not effectively. For every penny we make, they probably make $100. So
wow. There is legislation out there. I believe both Oregon senators have gotten behind a local journalism bill.
Two of them, actually, mm-hmm. yes. The Local Journalism Sustainability Act, which would allow a tax credit for hiring newsroom employees. And then the Journalism Competition and Preservation Act, which was the one I was referring to earlier, which needs to go through the House Judiciary Committee, which I believe is still happening. So we're still getting sponsorships and sign-ons with that. And I'll, in fact, be back with my good friend Mark Garber from Pamplin Media next month on a legislative fly-in talking about those two bills with our Oregon congressional delegation.
Okay, so you have ears certainly listening to you in Washington about the needs of local journalism.
Oh my goodness, I got to say the attention right now is amazing just because of the threat that our industry is facing and the nonstop popping up of news deserts across this country. I do think the momentum is swinging back where people understand the value of credible, relevant content that is reflective of the communities that our journalists are in. And so I think the timing is right for a swing back to supporting the effort.
So, David, talk about the basic idea here. I mean, is the Rogue Valley Tribune a website that prints occasionally, or is it a newspaper that puts pictures of itself on the web?
The fundamentals of reporting don't change. The distribution model can change and how the news gets to people. But the fundamentals don't change. We're still out there doing news gathering the same way that we've always done it, talking to people, getting out of the office and actually interacting with people, going to meetings, looking for larger context and smaller spot news stories. Get a story on an arrest of a homeless person. There are a lot of issues that led to that person being homeless in the first place. So we're going to try and put all those little stories into bigger context.
But there is a print edition planned, right?
There is, yeah. It'll be 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesdays, Thursdays, Saturdays, at least initially. And that'll start later this month.
Okay, so not initially, not this week, for example.
No.
18th will be our first publishing day.
18th, you're saying, Heidi?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. And but printed in Klamath Falls, is that what I hear, and delivered by mail?
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
To answer your question about the content, too, as David was referring to, as I've been calling it, the beast we will be feeding is the website, and then we will curate the content off of that and put a print edition together 3 days a week. But our focus will be on, producing content every day, refreshing the website throughout the day, producing newsletters, and posting to social media. So we do understand the digital age requires us to be much more engaging and much more communicative with our community. And the print edition will just be a deeper dive, as they said, into the things that you maybe wouldn't, it wouldn't be so easy to put online.
So, David, how fast did you have to pull all this together? I mean, it feels like overnight in planning terms.
From the day that the Mail Tribune closed to the day that we put our website went live online, I want to say it was 3 weeks or a little bit under that,
mm-hmm.
Which is incredibly fast. So, I mean, the longest process was running the gauntlet of being hired by EO Media because they put me through 5 interviews over 9 days. And I tell people if I was suffering from imposter syndrome, they would have broken me by the 3rd interview. These are newspaper people. So I'm in an interview with Steve Forrester, who started with Lamb a Week, was editor at The Historian. He's a 4th generation, he's part of a 4 generation newspaper family. I knew that there was no question that I could answer that he didn't already know the answer to. So it was a little bit intimidating sitting there talking to him. But then they hired me, and it's just been a sprint ever since, trying to hire a staff. I'm standing in the middle of a room over in the old JCPenney building right now, and I'm looking at paint cans on the floor and tape around the windows, and we don't have desks, we don't have phones, but we've got people sitting around a conference table downstairs banging out stories and interviewing people.
Wow. Well, it sounds exhilarating, if not a little terrifying, too.
It is, and what we keep talking about is we're making history here. The very first paper is going to be a collector's item. It's just very exciting. You can't get more down on the ground floor than we are right now.
Heidi, will there be newsstand sales in addition to the mail delivery?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We're working on that, and I believe we'll have quite a few locations in place for our first edition.
And David, about the opinion page, I didn't realize how much I missed letters to the editor until I started reading the local editors in the letters in the Daily Courier. What kind of policy are you going to have at the Tribune?
We will be, we're soliciting letters to the editor right now. So we're hope to have a robust letters to the editor section again.
Well, a lot of people are pulling for your success, it seems. People didn't realize how much they needed a newspaper until they didn't have one in the Rogue Valley. So, I mean, you must feel like a lot of people are behind you, David.
I get so many calls, emails, and texts from people just saying that, we're behind you, or a million people are behind you. I think people, even though it wasn't for that long of a time when people lost their newspaper, I think it really shocked people and it left a hole in a lot of people's daily routines. So I can feel that support, and I'm really grateful for it.
Yeah, not a good feeling when you turn into a news desert overnight. David Spigelski is the editor at the new Rogue Valley Tribune. Heidi Wright, the chief operating officer at EO Media. Thank you both for joining us on The Exchange.
You're welcome.
Thank you,
Jeff.